listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It was an all-win situation for the Toronto Raptors. They are on to the NBA Finals, closing out the Milwaukee Bucks this weekend. So, RJ, the Finals are set. Game one coming up Thursday night. It is the Warriors. It is the Raptors. A surprise Toronto team being down 0-2 in the series before. What does Vegas make of it?
Yeah, 6-1 underdogs. And if you look at the odds right now in the series, it's in that range. And again, if you shop around, you can get different prices. It's like, hey, how much is gas? It's going to be within a certain range. But you go across the street, Faz, I could see you driving your Beamer. You got a Beamer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is it a Beamer or a Mercedes?
Beamer, right? It's actually a Mercedes.
You got a Benz.
I mean, think about how rich you got to be.
Oh, my.
Hold on a second. He literally, his eye, you know when someone's really thinking and their eyes roll as they're really like doing deep thought? I asked him, did he have a Mercedes or a Beamer? And he had to really, really think about it. I mean, listen.
I am Elmer J. Foote, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
Now, luckily, we're going to relieve you of some of that money. So it is a Beamer.
It is. My feelings obviously were hurt with Milwaukee, as was my wife.
No, I understand. But I could see him like getting that car total, trying to drive across the street to save a penny on gas. All right. So, but if you look at the odds right now, it's Golden State minus about 300. You can shop and get better. So $3 wins you a dollar. And Toronto is about 100 to win you 240. Now, the straddle there is 60 cents between 300 and 240. You might say, geez, that's a lot. Well, as the favorites go higher and higher, effectively, Faz, and tell me if this makes sense to explain it this way, the bookies really only get paid if the underdog wins. Thus, they have to make that difference where if it's minus 110, minus 110, the straddle's 20 cents. If it's, let's say, minus 200 plus 170, it goes to 30. So there's the different break points. This is real simply just a matter of because Golden State has such a good chance to win that if the Raptors do win, the bookies want to take that difference, be a bigger chunk. Is that a fair way to say it?
Yeah, and as it turns out, mathematically, it just turns out that the bookie will have about the same theoretical hold.
Exactly. So don't look at that and say, oh, that's a bad bet. It's about the same theo as usual. So math says a little less than 70% chance when it comes to Golden State winning.
Right around 70%.
Okay. Now, next segment, about 20 after, we're going to be talking about the aftermath in Milwaukee. And we actually were talking at length with a film analyst. Now, think about the specificity of this. A film analyst that breaks down Toronto games. It's his whole job. And we had a long back and forth today, and we'll be leveraging that to see what really happened in that to Milwaukee, to Giannis. Needs there be a real reevaluation of how good Giannis is? So let's focus now on how good Toronto is. So Fez, you were a skeptic. You were peacocking around when they were up 2-0. What is your conclusion about Toronto, which I think obviously speaks to, at least a little bit, their intrinsic quality and what that means against Golden State?
Yeah, I slightly upgraded Toronto. I think.
Well, hold on. From the start of the series till now, you slightly upgraded Toronto.
I did.
Okay. Now, any normal thinking human's going to be out there saying, well, geez, this was a fundamental change in assumption that Toronto's was, you know, didn't even have home court advantage. They were down 2-0, all these different things, and they still gutted it out. And Fez says, not impressed. Like, there's a meme out there with you crossing your arms, you know, in sunglasses, getting in the Beamer. I mean, the Mercedes.
Well, I was slightly impressed. I did upgrade them versus where they were to start the series. But bottom line is Toronto had
No, I don't need you to repeat the same thing. I'm asking you to answer the following question. Listen. Here's the question. Almost everyone would say upgrade Toronto significantly. Why aren't you?
Because I felt that Milwaukee was unable to adjust to Toronto's fundamental difference they threw at them at defense.
What does fundamental difference mean?
They threw the Giannis wall. They double-teamed Giannis. They left Milwaukee guys open from the perimeter, and Milwaukee just did not make their perimeter shots.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Toronto and Giannis, so the coach and Giannis, did the job, their job of creating an advantage. The problem was Giannis couldn't really shoot from outside, so it allowed them to do the double and the wall and all that, and the others just weren't making their shots. So really, yeah, Giannis could throw the ball a little quicker. And as he said, wouldn't it be great if Giannis could make an outside shot? It's like, geez, we don't want him to be the best player in the history of the world. And when if that guy's starting to hit threes, you know, the game's over, right? So, yeah, it's easy to say that center should be able to shoot from the outside really well. But come on, he's good enough as he is, and he's never shot well from outside, Giannis. So other than that, the other guys didn't step up, which kind of speaks to the idea, is this about clutch, right? Because it did feel like the confidence, and again, with your almost perfect eyes, Fez, when you watch these games, would you say that you could, when the Milwaukee was taking their shots, did they feel like they were you can see a confident shot. Did it feel confident to you?
No, and it became less and less confident as the series
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Bledsoe, Mirotić, oh my God, I can't make these shots.
All right, but here's the real takeaway, is really it's hard to blame Giannis too much. And I think there has been a real reevaluation of Giannis off of a couple games that probably seems unfair. Now, I did ask this question. Did Toronto do something different? Was this fun? This wall, was it fundamentally different? He said no. He said no brand new ideas, but it wasn't considered to be the default way to play them. Whereas some teams did it, you know, tried to double and all. Some teams didn't. And now the theory is, oh, this looks so effective. A lot more teams, kind of like in football, year one, Lamar Jackson, they get the tape, RG3, I'm projecting with Jackson, adjustments are made. I think that more teams will play this way against Giannis. Now, the question is, in the regular season, is Milwaukee's other players able to make their open shots? I think that's a key question. But he did know, again, Coop NBA on Twitter, that Toronto is especially fast while still being in control. Kawhi, obviously, the leader at that. So they can execute this type of scheme better than other teams could against Milwaukee. Now, lastly, about Milwaukee's coach, is he tried a bunch to stop Kawhi, switching styles of defense, even though Milwaukee was the most switch-averse team in the NBA, didn't work. Tried to influence left like they do on Harden, didn't work. So really, if you're going to grade the coach or Giannis, the blame's really not there. So I know it's fun to say, oh, reevaluation. Well, I think it's the other players that need reevaluated.
Yeah, I think you got to put Leonard in as the one of, if not the elite superstar in the NBA. They threw everything at him. Milwaukee did, and Leonard answered every defense.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
RJ, you mentioned that you like the article, but a very one-sided article as well, too. Where's your proof?
Yeah, it seemed to me, and I think well-researched even more so. I mean, obviously, a lot of research. Though I do always find it interesting when, and these are the clues. What we're trying to do is help you be able to discern what you can really take away from such articles. Because the amount of money spent, man hours on an article like that is massive. Give ESPN credit. That's a net negative for them financially, an article like that. Even with all the talk. But they still are doing it, and you know, give them credit for that. The fact of the matter is, though, at the beginning, this is what they said. They said, we talked to people from the executive suite to the cubicle and those associated with the team, or you know, loose ties. I'm not going verbatim there. Ties. Ties might have been the word. Okay. So really what we're saying is you talk to one front office guy. You could say, I'm not saying this is the case. You could say if you talk to one front office, one cubicle person, and 19 other, like what I say when Fez and I went out with Don Van Natta, unrelated note, and I've known Don for years, great guy. we took a picture, me, Fez, and Don, and I tweeted out 3 Pulitzer Prizes, 2 Super Contest titles in this picture. Now, Fez has the 2 Super Contests. Don has the 3, but I was in the group, right? So to me, when you put all your sources in a big bucket and you headline with the impressive, and then during the actual article, you don't, it doesn't seem like there's very much from anyone other than associate, you know, or ties of the team. That's a trick, right? That all writers do, but look out for that. Who's saying this? But I also think there's a bigger trick, is there was something that was anti-Magic, and there was something that was anti-Luke Walton. And let's look at the writing style. And luckily, we have Brad Powers, who is here to do a dramatic reading with theme music. So first, dramatic reading, Brad Powers, the anti-Magic writing.
Yeah, so the context here is Magic Johnson. Magic, everyone loves Magic. Said this, according to those close to the situation. I don't stand for mistakes. I don't make mistakes. And he's talking about a certain staffer that just made a mistake. And the theory behind it was, hey, one more mistake, you're out of here. So here's the paragraph preceding that. In the office, the staffer apologized and later, offsite, began to cry. That's according to multiple people with knowledge of the incident. In the months ahead, she would suffer increased anxiety and panic attacks. She was prescribed anti-anxiety medication. She quit the Lakers after more than 2 decades with the team and then began several weeks of therapy. Multiple people with the familiar with the matter said this. She gave her notice on December 18, 2017, after 2 decades with the team, the same day Kobe Bryant's 2 jerseys were retired.
Okay. Very dramatic. And what happened was Magic apparently said, do your job or you're fired.
Pretty much.
Okay. Now, Luke Walton, with allegations of... we got the exact phrasing. Let's make sure we get that right. So, Brad, we want to do that dry reading. Well, I guess not necessarily dry if the writing isn't dry. We want to do the reading on Luke.
Yeah, Walton joined the Sacramento Kings on April 13th, 1 day after he left the Lakers. 1 week after the Kings officially announced his hiring, Walton was sued by a journalist who alleged he sexually assaulted her while Walton served as assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors.
And what else did they say about this incident? Nothing else, huh? So that's interesting. On one hand, you've got a guy who, again, innocent till proven guilty, though I'm not sure anything's proven that multiple people said X about Magic, but okay. All right. Certainly someone is going either even further than that against Luke Walton, but innocent until proven guilty. But that was like the driest recitation of the facts you could possibly have. But for the Magic thing, it sounded like if at the end, she, you know, there would have been multiple fatalities, it would have like maybe warranted that kind of writing. Instead, it was like she retired. So to me, throughout the story, it was from Luke's perspective. Now, if someone else, or, you know, Luke's buddy's perspective, if someone else would write the same story from each of the other 5 perspectives, I think we would have the story. Right now, we've got one perspective, and I think it was done really well.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.